No, it's not. Quiet. The word I was looking for is becoming more and more rare, more difficult to come by, and it's yet it's extremely valuable. So we talk about, the one of the definitions or one of the words describing or just our gathering place is a sanctuary, and just part of what's inherent there, just a place that's just safe, quiet, kind of a haven. So, well, I want us to look at God's word this morning. Surprise, surprise. And thought just by way of a couple of things I'd like to do to introduce the word this morning. And first is to show you a picture. See if we can. This is a picture along, I think it's Interstate 100 in Arizona, and where you see the. Actually, you can't. It's not as wide as I was hoping, but just to the far right of the picture is where this pickup has his. He's been traveling from the right, going to the left, and he went through the guardrail about in there, and did an endo, flipped end over end, and landed facing the opposite direction. And now, if you could just kind of extend. He was going about 75 miles an hour. The what does it say? The 22-year-old driver and 18-year-old passenger were unhurt except for minor cuts and bruises. Someone had sent this. In fact, I think it was Stu Arnoff that sent this picture to me, and. It was actually sent in two pictures. You saw just the all you could see is the top portion, and then it did like we were able to see the rest of it. And the bottom caption was, "If God isn't done with you, God isn't done with you." One of my favorite cartoons. Didn't go looking for it and show it on there, but it's just the. You've seen the picture. We've made reference to it several times, where the guy that has obviously fallen off a cliff and he's hanging by there's just a twig or some kind of a small branch that's sticking out of the ground, and he's holding on to it for probably, something like, just a long cliff. And he says something like, help, obviously, and is anyone up there? And then he hears the voice above says, "I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe me?" And he says, "Oh, yeah, I believe." And then the Lord responds something like, "That's all right. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I'm going to save you." And then, of course, the classic line, "But you need to let go." And there's this, of course, the moment of pause. And to which the guy that's holding on says, "Is there anyone else up there?" And I've always liked that because I think that that just is so typifies. I think we can all relate to that. We're always there's assurance when we hear the voice of the Lord and hear His promise, but then sometimes His word isn't exactly the word that we were looking for, or his method of saving us isn't exactly the what we had in mind. And taking God at His word is really what I want us to look at this morning. Learning to take God at His word. And it is challenging sometimes, yes? And in a word, we would call it taking God at His word would be faith, trust, believing. Yes, all of those words. You can go ahead and bring the lights back up if you want. So I've just a simple definition of faith is, you know, is illustrated by the guy that's hanging, you know, and what God, you know, required. You know, faith is seeing the invisible, being able to see the invisible, isn't it? What's that? Right. So faith is seeing, being able to see the invisible. So, and that, you know, I've got to, you know, give me about a half an hour to kind of. No, you can speak up, but I think of, I'm taking this as out of that phrase right out of Scripture, so I feel like I'm on pretty safe ground here. Moses, for example, persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And so the question that I want us to just address this morning is, you know, how is your seeing? How is your seeing? Marcy grabbed that in the prayer this morning, you know, seeing God's provision. And so, Lord, as we look to your word this morning, help us to see. And deepen, Lord, our faith. Lord, increase our vision. Not so much in the natural. In fact, less in the natural and more in the supernatural, Lord, so that we could see the things that are not easily seen, so that we could see the invisible. Lord, we want to see the eternal, not just the temporal. Lord, deepen our faith, expand our hearts. We trust in you, Lord. By your word, amen. So you've heard the phrase, seeing is. So I want to suggest, in fact, that's the title that I've put on this morning, is that believing is seeing. We've been looking the last couple of weeks in the book of John and looked at the example of John the Baptist. And Lord, I must decrease, you must increase. We looked at Jesus at the well and talking to the woman and his heart to be discerning and to be generous in his heart to minister even out of his own need. And this morning I want to look at just simply taking God at his word. And I thought I would do on occasion is read a pretext that is a text that would preface the real text that I want to really focus on. We're going to look at John 4, but I want to read a little bit out of Luke chapter 5. And we'll begin with the 17th verse. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, and they had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately he stood up and in front of them and took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Okay, now I'm actually going to skip into John chapter 4 and backing up the bus a bit, because this is something that actually happened previously. After, but I'm just going to jump right into remember, just to kind of grab the events, you know, John the Baptist is question, you know, just making that statement, I must decrease, and then the whole episode of John chapter 4 of Jesus ministering to the woman at the well, and he's headed towards Galilee, but just before he gets there, he's still probably, you know, 15 miles or so, he comes to this town of Cana, which he was, I think it's in John chapter 2, he'd been there and did this the first miracle, and that's where he turned the water into wine. So now he's, after 2 days, 2 days after being in Sychar in Samaria, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And by the way, Cana is just practically next door to Nazareth. So he's really right in his stomping grounds make reference to his area of where he's been spending, you know, the bulk of his childhood. And wow, I put a battery in my pocket and I think it was touching my keys or something. Everything is really, really warm. There we go. Better fix that. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Listen to Jesus' response. Listen to his heart of compassion and discerning sensitivity. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told them, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, not to be deterred, not to be put off, sir, come down before my child dies. And then Jesus responds, go, and your son will live. And then this is the line that I am challenged by and hope to challenge you as well. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him. And the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And so he and his whole household believed. In the last line, this was the second sign Jesus performed after coming to Judea, to Galilee. Just a little observation. I really hadn't seen this before, but just reading, the idea is that not only did the man take Jesus at his word, that even though that it was some distance, 15, 20 miles away from Cana to Capernaum, that the man didn't just rush off like one might think. If Jesus spoke at 1 p.m, he could have easily been there that evening. especially if he was traveling by horse, which you would expect, being the nobleman, an officer, degree of wealth. And so the something that's just implied there is that he wasn't really in all that much of a hurry to get back, as though he just it just increases the confidence that the word that God spoke was in fact fulfilled and that his son was healed. But I want to ask, in this story, which describes you? The people or the nobleman? And I'm, of course, you know, taking the description of Jesus for the people, but in other words, unless you people, are you the you people or are you the nobleman is what I'm asking. Are you the you people that need to see a sign or a wonder or a miracle and before you will believe or to keep you believing? Or are you simply like the nobleman that is able to take God simply at his word? And that's enough. And that's more than enough. Honestly, if I'm answering that question, too often I'm better defined by the people and not often enough defined or enough like the nobleman, the young official. I often want more than just the word. I wanna see the son healed. I wanna see the prayer answered. I wanna see circumstances change. Yeah. And it is. And that's really God's design, is that we would grow in our faith, and that it would be more and more. In fact, that we wouldn't even have to hear as clearly. Not that God wants to fade away and so that there's, you know, the implication of greater distance, but that we would know God's voice. We would recognize even just this whispers or the gentle nudge or the even the times of silence that would be okay, because we know what we know about God is enough, even though in the midst of desperation. You know, I think about the seasons in our lives where we need God to intervene. And there's just and often those greatest needs aren't just something, it's not like we're the one that's on our deathbed near, it's a loved one, or it's in this case the man's son, and or, you know, so whether it's a neighbor or a friend or something that we're a need that we're concerned about, you know, we're desperate, we're crying out for God and saying, God, you know, what I need, what would be enough is just taking you at your word, hearing your voice, reminding me of your promises, remind me of what we know, what I know to be true. One of the greatest hindrances that it's not something that challenges me, especially as I talk with people that don't know God and don't have a relationship with Him. So often when I'm talking with individuals, the subject that comes up, you know, because it really is hard to convince someone. I mean, it's hard to convince and encourage brothers and sisters sometime. You know, hear the word of the Lord. You know, take God at His word. It's challenging enough sometimes to convey God's promises to those that believe, let alone to those that don't believe? And people want to say, well, show me. I want to see God. I want to show me the money. You know, show me, and then I'll believe. And this whole idea of seeing an invisible God is really tough. And especially when people will say, well, if God is so loving, then you know what's coming. Why does he allow just horrific things to happen to people? And without even blinking, can name 15 things. And while they're doing it, you're thinking of 50 other things and having some of your own questions that would even contribute. And it makes it really difficult to have much to say in that discussion, doesn't it? And of course, we all have been there, and we've had certain things. But I know that the one thing that that has been perhaps the best illustration to me is just, you know, the example of a piece of a jigsaw puzzle. And you know, if I were, in fact, I've actually thought about just handing a piece of a puzzle out, and even whether it's actual piece of a puzzle or something made up, and then challenging you, so what puzzle does this belong to? Well, how ridiculous that would be. There might be a one in a so many thousand, or whatever the odds would be, there might be a chance, or there might be just on a random piece that there might be something revealing, but chances are pretty significant that we would just be clueless. In fact, I would say that we could do that with thousands of people, and there'd never be an ability to say that I can tell you exactly what puzzle this goes to. And the point is that's the way it is in our lives. We see one circumstance, or we see one situation, and we begin to just assume that we know stuff that really we have very little. I mean, just the one clue. We just have one little piece of the puzzle. We don't know where that fits into the full completed picture that God sees and that God knows. And so I like that idea that our sight, when we make statements, grandiose statements like, well, how can God be a God of love if, and they pull out one piece of a puzzle and offer that into evidence. Kent, did you start to? And we can't. And that's why when we pray, we have to pray as Jesus instructed us. Lord, your will be done. I have a will. I have a bit of an insight. I have some understanding. But God, I only see at best just a little part. And so God, your will be done. And so I'm just challenged as I encounter not just circumstances concerning my life and things that concern me directly, but just encountering people and the various things that they're going through, and so often my prayer is, God, you know, help their seeing, help them to hear, Lord, enable the word, your word, to be heard, and help it to be enough so that people could simply take you at your word. Like Moses. Moses was okay, the scripture says. There's a couple of lines there. He says he's okay with being mistreated. He was just okay with that. I mean, it wasn't like he was relishing it. That's not what the scripture's saying, but he actually chose, the scripture says, to be mistreated along with the rest of the Israelites rather than cling to what was rightfully his. He was, because he saw the invisible. He was okay with that. He was okay with suffering along with the rest of them. He was also unafraid of the king's anger, the scripture says. He just wasn't afraid with what might happen. And further than this, this is the last line that what I referred to earlier. He was able to persevere, that is, to endure. That is, he kept right on going. Right on going, just ahead, wherever it was he was headed, whatever God had for him, because he was able to see the invisible. And I just want to encourage you, and perhaps to, if you know, not just for your sake, but for the sake of you being able to encourage others in the same way, that when the going isn't so easily seen, you know, it's like, and in fact, the going looks like this is just impossible. This is not right. This is unjust. This is just not fair. And when the temptation is to take things into one own, you know, to one's own hand, or to give up, or to just despair, or to be discouraged, or whatever it would be, to let that be a reminder. Oh, I just need to. I need to hear from God. This I need to see. I'm focused. I'm too preoccupied with the visible. I need to maybe close my eyes, not just pretend like it goes away, but God, remind me of your promises. Lord, remind me of the invisible. You know, and then that scripture a little bit later, in fact, it's the next chapter in Hebrews that says Jesus himself was able to endure the cross because of the joy set before. I mean, he was able to see beyond. Was there a lot of joy at the cross? What joy set before him? Because there was a celebration? No, it was, he understood. He saw to Sunday morning, is what he was seeing, the joy of the resurrection. He was able to see the invisible. And as a result, he was more than able to endure the cross. And I just wanted to read, go ahead, Mike. Or to discover what is that. And so we recognize that, I mean, not only is it the basis of our salvation, because it is, you know, we're saved not on the basis of our good works or our own merit. You know, that's where that scripture there in Ephesians 2, it's simply a gift of God. And so we accept that gift by faith. We don't understand it. We certainly don't deserve it, but we embrace it, you know, by faith. And the scripture back to Hebrews, you know, says, it just again puts the real clear priority of faith. It says it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so you realize right there, boy, I better, this faith thing is not only saves me, but it allows me to be pleasing to God. And I just thought it would be good for us to just conclude our time in the Word this morning. I want to read Hebrews 11, verse 1. I've kind of danced all around 11 and 12, but I want to read just the first verse. And I want to read it about six times. And not just the same version. I want to use different versions to just help strengthen our faith and just remind us not only the importance of faith, but its strong work in our life. So I'm going to read it out of the New American Standard to begin with. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Celebrating the 400th anniversary of the King James Version. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Out of the New English Bible. And what is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes and makes us certain of realities we do not see. Out of the NIV. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And then out of the Message. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what this is actually verse 2. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above. What distinguished our ancestors, it set them above the crowd. I like the bumper sticker that I remember seeing just years and years ago. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. And I just thought that's just so succinct. It just and that needs to be the fundamental foundation in our lives, that, you know, God, you said it, that settles it. You said it, if you said it, God, I believe it, and that settles it. And so no matter what it is that we're facing, and there will be stuff that we face constantly. But grabbing a hold of God, I am simply determined to take you at your word, God. To take you at your word. And then, of course, that challenges us, you know, to be in the word. And I'm pointing at Kent because just that quickness to bring out just and keep with you if that works, whether it's whatever it takes. You know, whether it takes keeping, you know, flashcards, you know, just right there within reach, or whether it's just daily in, and probably both, daily in God's word. God, I'm hiding your word in my heart. You know, not just in my pocket, but in my heart. So that when I need to make a withdrawal, you know, when I need to, I think it's Eugene Peterson says, you know, I've hidden the word of God in the vault of my heart. You know, it's there for safekeeping. So that when the tough stuff comes, that I'm reaching out and I can hear the word of the Lord saying, hey, greater is he that is in you. You know, and just in fact, let's do this. Just speak out a couple of those. It could be just a phrase. Just nothing is able to separate me from the love of Christ. My God is able to do all things. God is love. I am with you always. I am the God that heals you. I am the God that hears. In fact, before you call, I will answer. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we can be confident because we know what God began in us, He will continue to to its completion. We also know, God, you haven't given up on us yet.
Be strong and take courage, for I will be with you.
Yeah. I will never leave you or forsake you, and yeah. He shall supply, God, you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. But Lord, we're grateful. Lord, just a fundamental truth this morning, but one that because it's fundamental, Lord, we embrace and ask that, Lord, you continue to give sight. It's kind of almost a funny play on words, but Lord, we understand that we really do want to see the invisible, and Lord, we can see the invisible. It's not that the invisible is not able to be seen, it's just not as easily seen because we focus more on the temporal, on the visible. So God, I pray that because we choose to believe, even when we can't fully see, fully understand, Lord, you give sight to our belief. Lord, you increase and strengthen our faith and our trust, because we dare to take you at your word. And God, I pray that you give us opportunities to speak your word. And Lord, that we would see, Lord, not just the miracle to increase belief, Lord, but that you would give us opportunities to speak your word, and that there would be the strengthened hearts, Lord, to believe and discern even without the physical evidence. Thank you for doing that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. And may God make your faith strong, and in some cases, with sight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, enjoy your afternoon spring break. Are we meeting downstairs today, Jan?
No.
Not today. Okay. Yeah, I need to remember not put battery in the same pocket as keys. That was...